best part of the last 5 decades, our next guest has been out front of the longest working and touring metal band of all time, Judas Priest's Rob Halford. After a mammoth list of albums with Priest, solo and side projects, a Grammy, and being one of metal's most influential figures, Rob's just released a memoir of his career titled Confess. Please welcome to the show the unmistakable voice of metal, Rob Halford.
Wow.
Hello, Rob. How it goes? Welcome aboard.
That's what me off that nose has. Hello, guys.
We couldn't be happier to speak to you, Rob. 50 years of piss farting about out the front of a heavy metal band, and you've only just realised you're an author.
It took a while, didn't it?
Yeah. Took a while. What's harder, album covers or book covers?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You tell me. They're both a lot of fun and both quite challenging. But, you know, we finally got there, and I'm absolutely thrilled now to be able to share this fantastic book that I made with my mate Ian Gittins. Yep. And it tells you everything about my life. You know, I'm a 69-year-old heavy metal maniac, proud of it.
Yep.
And 50 glorious years with Judas Priest. And, of course, so many people around the world know of most of my life in metal and music, but this is all the other stuff. This is all the other stuff that you might be interested to have a look at and a listen to.
Well, we are, and we'll get to that. But how you crystallise a 50-year career and an incredible life outside of the band into one book, I'll never know. I want to run you through some of the bombshells in the book before we start mucking around down the deep end of the pool. Handcuffed yourself to Andy Warhol, true or false?
Yeah, don't get close to me. Don't get close to me while I've got my handcuffs ready.
Wow.
Handcuffs always ready to latch onto somebody. And Andy Warhol was the unwilling victim that night. He was very confused. He was very, very confused. Hadn't got a clue what was going on.
Yes.
But I secured him to my wrist, and then I actually threw him in the back of a cab, and we went to Studio 54 together.
Yes.
I released him there, and he went off into the night, and I've never saw or heard of him ever again.
Oh, that's gold. That's gold. All right. Fired a machine gun on your own audience. Please explain.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing about that, guys. It's great when it works. If it don't work, it looks very stupid. You get a couple of these whiz bangs going off instead of a full, you know, a fully automatic blank thing happening.
Yeah.
And you get a couple of pew-pews, yes, and it's a dismal failure. But when it did work, it was a lot of fun. It was very powerful, yeah.
I can only imagine. Now, you've discussed heavy metal music with the Queen.
I have.
Wow.
Who would have believed Her Majesty is a headbanger? It's amazing.
Did her crown come off? I have to know. Did the crown come off?
Oh, yeah. No. She was there bopping back and forth with me and Cilla Black. It was an amazing night, that was. I couldn't believe it. First of all, I've got Cilla digging me in the rig, saying, "Don't show things with the Queen." And I haven't got a clue about royal protocol.
Yes.
And then, of course, Her Majesty going, "Oh, heavy metal, why do they play it so loud?" And I'm saying, well, Your Majesty, you've got to bang your head to it. And she's like, yeah. And then she wanders off into the night, like Andy Warhol, and I never saw her again either. So, there you go.
Didn't handcuff the Queen?
Oh, no. They patted me down that night. They wouldn't let bring in the yeah. And
now, what's your beef with Freddie Mercury?
I love Freddie. What a star. What a rock star.
I do too.
Wow. There's too much to say about Freddie. His glorious music, the band Queen. No, we had a little bit of a, not a kiss, but, you know, one day I'm watching the Top of the Pops, and there comes Freddie, decked head to toe, in what I can only say was the Metal God paraphernalia, you know. So I was a bit kicked off at that. But, we never had a real beef as such. Again, the closest I got to Freddie was just giving him a wave across a gay bar in Athens, and then I see him a couple of days later when I'm on the nudie beach in Mykonos, and I see this yacht come around the corner, festooned with pink balloons and well-oiled toy boys hanging onto the mast, and then he's, you know, waving to everybody. Well, what a glorious moment that was, yeah. Fantastic.
HMS Freddie Mercury, I would have thought. Right, all aboard. He would have had the captain's shorts on for sure. You know, tennis shorts was his look. I think the black leather and chains was your look. Yeah. When I think of black leather and chains, I think of Rob Halford or the motorcycle guy from The Village People.
Yeah.
And I much prefer your
definitely
your look.
All right, Rob, stay there. Rob Halford is with us from Judas Priest. Confess, the book is out.
That's Judas Priest. It's Breaking the Law. Rob Halford, frontman, the metal god, is joining Kennedy Molloy right now. The new autobiography, Confess, is out.
Now, we had some great news and some bad news last week, and I want to ask you about both these guys. We AC/DC released new music, and we couldn't be happier. And let's what is all agreed is a pretty crap year, 2020. Yeah. It hasn't been great. The release of new music from AC/DC I thought was great. Can you tell me about the time you supported them and you thought they didn't like you?
Oh, what a brilliant tour that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the great fortune of going out with AC/DC on a big European tour and had a wonderful time with the guys. But because we were having to travel practically overnight,
yes,
from venue to venue. We have this van, which we nicknamed the Bread Van, because that's what it looked like. We got all the band and crew, you know, elbows in the ribs and feet in the face, doing overnighters all around Europe. I forget who he was. I think it might have been Bonnie. Come to the dressing room. He goes, are we okay? I said, what do you mean, Bonnie? He goes, well, we never see you, you know. We never see you at all. You do your show, and then you've gone. I said, oh, no. I said, well, what we have to do, we have to leg it after the show to make sure we can get to the next place in time, you know. And he goes, well, yeah, how are you getting about? I said, oh, we've got this old rental bread van. No. He says, get on the bus with us, you know. So that was just the beautiful guys that they were, still are. Mm. They took us out on their tour bus and gave us some beers and, you know, yeah, wonderful overnighters with them. What an iconic band. And of course, absolutely, we're all thrilled. I can't wait to get a full ear full of Power Up. I've heard the Shot in the Dark, and that's a cracker. It's wonderful to see the band back together, and what a great homage this will be again.
Indeed.
Keeping the wonderful memory of Malcolm alive and the wonderful memory of Bon alive. We can't wait to see the guys when it's safe to get out on the road one more time.
Well said, Rob. And what about the passing of Eddie Van Halen? We read a couple of things you'd said. That's a big loss. Did you have much to do in your career or cross paths at all with Eddie?
Yeah, we did some shows together over the decades, you know. I mentioned a couple of things that that really, you know, still a strong metal memory. The first time was when they first released the very first Van Halen album, and the manager of Priest at the time came around to my house and was banging on the door. He said, you've got to come and listen to this cassette. I've just had it sent over from America. So we sat in his car and I heard Eddie Van Halen for the first time. It blew me away, man. I'd never heard a guitar player play like he was playing. He was a revolutionary. He was a game changer. So then fast forward a few years later, and we had the pleasure of opening up for Van Halen in Santa Monica, the Santa Monica Civic. You know, and after the show, just sitting around talking, drinking, having chats about metal, rock and roll and so forth. And Eddie would come to pre-shows, and he'd more than likely be hanging out with Glenn or KK at the time, because that's what guitar players do, talking about the gear and so forth. So beautiful memories.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, guys, the best way to celebrate these amazing people, these incredible musicians that will never be replaced, is to keep playing their music.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing you can do for them, and it keeps them alive with us, because every day we listen to Van Halen, every day we listen to Bon and the guys, you know. It's how we stay connected, no matter where they are.
Well said, Rob. Now, listen, this is a great read. It's a fantastic read, and it'll be so much fun for everyone, but it's way more important than that as well. Can you talk me through? And I've made some big calls in my life, but I can't imagine what's going on in your head in 1988, the front man to the preeminent heavy metal band in the world, who has a legion of fans all over the world, and how you come up and go, you know what, guys, I'm gay. I think of it now, but I remember the climate. Can you talk us through the lead up to that decision and how you felt afterwards?
Well, thanks for bringing this up, because it's still the important part of my life.
It is.
It's still the important part for a lot of people, you know, a lot of gay metalheads, people of the LGBT community. And it's a much better place now for all of us, although we've still got a long way to go in terms of equality.
Yep.
Having said that, the day that I did formally come out, as it were, was when I was at the MTV studios in New York, and I was with a band called Two at that time, a great record that was produced by Trent Reznor. Mm. And my mate John Five was a stellar guitar player. And I was just talking about my life at that time, the music that I was making. And I said, just very, you know, in a conversational way, and speaking as a gay man, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And I heard the producer drop his clipboard. I was bouncing around the studio. And there it was. So the thing was, guys, that, you know, I've always said that was the best way for me to kind of make that statement. Mm-hmm. It wasn't planned. It wasn't premeditated. There was no agenda. I just explained that that's who I was. And turns out, pretty much everybody had put two and two together. And right. The thing for me was, again, that I was absolutely floored and blown away by the amazing support of not only Priest fans, but metalheads around the world. And so it continues to be. And I've said constantly over and over again, if you're struggling with that, you know, put yourself into a better place. If you can come out and just be the person you are, you have a much better life. It's as simple as that.
You will have probably no idea how many lives you have saved and affected through that decision back in 1998. You said, in your book, that you did drop a hint in the song Raw Deal, but no one picked it up at the time. Is that true?
It's amazing. Yeah, I was in the studio making the Sin After Sin album with Roger Glover from Deep Purple producing. I'm lying there in the corner with my thesaurus. I was reading the Bible. Thesaurus, mate. That's where I got my words from. I just had this idea for this song with these lyrics. And again, it was just an opportunity, because I'm always inspired by the sound of the music. And for whatever reason, it took me to that place. And the words are very straightforward. It tells a story about this famous place in New York State, Fire Island, which is a big part of the gay world in the summertime. Mm. You know, the stories about the guys, this, that, and the other. It wasn't an explicit thing or anything of that nature, but it was just a story, you know? And I never even thought about the ramifications of that, or where that song may have led or whatever. Of course, the fact of the matter is, it didn't do any job per se. It was just a great song. Mm. But years and years later, and especially with Confess now, and people are going back to that song and looking at the words, and then there's a great story to be told about that part of New York that's a fun place to go and party at.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today, Rob. It's a fantastic read. I want all our listeners to go out and get a book. Mm. It's educational and it's fun and it's hilarious. You are a giant on stage and off stage, and I want to thank you for all the great time and entertainment you've given to us and our audience, and thank you for talking to us today.
It's been a pleasure, Mick. Thank you, Dangerous Dave.
You got
Australia,
it.
Australia, we love you guys so much. We can't wait to come back out there when it's safe and sound. You know, all bands, our fans are like water to us.
Yeah.
You know, we exist together. We've got to get back out on the road, and we will when it's safe and sound. It looks like 2021 is the launch platform for us all. So
we'll be there.
Let's hope Priest gets back to your beautiful shores, and we'll come and have some heavy metal mania back once again in the beautiful Australia.
We'll hold you to that. Thanks for your time today, Rob.
Rob Helford, the metal god, joining us. The Confessed autobiography is out right now in bookstores. Rob Helford from Judas Priest here on Kennedy Malone.